Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. AJ Rudo Blaze, as it official, he is the styling, woo, profiling, woo, wheeling, dealing, woo, nature boy, woo, Rolex wearing, woo, the biggest, winningest coach in franchise history, Jared Bednar. It's a good night.
There it is.
It's a good night. Avs win 3-2 over the Washington Capitals. Maybe a little bit squirrelier than people would have liked, but it's Blaze's day for the 1 minute
rundown.
Yeah,
let's get to this rundown. So, we got a minute clock up here. Let's start that thing. Avalanche start a little slow at the beginning of this game. Washington's taking advantage, getting their shots, their chances. Changes pretty quickly, though, with Nathan MacKinnon picking up his 700th point as an Avalanche. Pretty sweet. Gets a little back that ass up into him as he pushes the puck over to Lecky, who buries a nice goal top short side.
Tick-tock.
Oh, then we get into the second period. I can't remember who scores next. Oh, it's Alex Cogliano.
Did I say
Alex? Sorry, my bad. Let's keep going. McDermott, shot from the point. Cogliano uses what?
His body.
His body, hand, whatever you want to call, goes into the net. Washington gets a goal back. And then the line that just kind of took it to Washington all night gets paid off with an Alex Newhook goal. Third period.
We don't need to talk about third period.
Icky.
We'll get to it.
Got to 3-1. The game didn't matter.
Yeah. A little bit of a game that was all over the place tonight. I want to start with the MacKinnon goal because I think it's one of the few things that the top line actually did well tonight. Full credit to Nathan MacKinnon for figuring out a way to make that play despite
Great play.
Getting stopped.
Yeah. Great individual effort.
Yep.
Got the his last one of the night.
Not wrong. Obviously lucky with the nice finish, as Blaze mentioned.
Yeah.
Look, you get the Avs out on the right foot. That first period was a little bit back and forth. The Avs were giving up some pretty dangerous chances to Washington. They weren't cashing in on. That goal goes in. It feels like things kind of settled down for Colorado a little bit, right? So,
well, they are definitely getting outplayed until that happened. I mean,
yeah,
it wasn't looking good at the beginning of that game.
Looked okay at the end, sort of, barely, kind of. It was fine. And we'll get to some of the good stuff here, but the Avs are getting away with right now not the best from their top six, and maybe a little bit more expected, but they're just surviving the majority of their defense, right?
Can I honest question?
Yeah.
Entire defense gets healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Which members of the current defense play in the top four?
Devon Taves.
Is that the end of the list? Because I think it is.
I think so. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that's the end of the list. Because I think Sam Girard's played himself into a third pairing role when healthy. And I think, I mean, obviously we've seen with Eric Johnson, he did yeoman's work this last week without Cale Makar, kind of putting himself back into a top-ish kind of pairing job and surviving was bad tonight.
Yeah, with the healthy lineup, that guy's on your third pairing.
Sure. I mean, your second pairing is Manson Byram. Easy.
Okay. Just curious.
Yeah, I mean, I think EJ and Girard have made it easy by not claiming the role.
Yeah.
So, just kind of the way things have played out. Now, realistically, we know Jared Bednar will rotate, mix and match, and all of that.
There will be handfuls of games where, of course, like that kind of will change based on situations. You know, who does what. You know, blah 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 blah. All the things that happen. But on average, the fact that they're winning games right now with this defense being what it is,
at all. You take it however you can get it right now.
Well, you just need big games from your goaltenders.
Yep.
You do need, I mean, you need your goalie to be there. You need him to be rock solid. And once again, I mean, we're talking about the goaltending for Colorado continues to be great.
Yeah.
You know, it's been third best in the NHL coming into tonight.
Didn't get any worse.
Just more of the same.
Yep. And certainly, I mean, we'll talk about the Ovi goal, which on the one hand, it's Alex Ovechkin. On the other hand, maybe you want Georgiev to play it a little better. But certainly through the first two periods, he did everything you could ask him to do for Colorado. Allowed them to get to that 3-1 lead in the first place.
Yeah.
Like to see a save on that last goal.
I said we'll get there.
But I'm not going to throw a fit about it.
Yeah,
absolutely not.
And look, where this podcast is really heading is two places. One, you can't really have games like this from Mikko Rantanen. And it's not to take anything against him. I get it. He's still an amazing hockey player. He's still playing out of his mind this year. But it makes the Avs' life so hard when he just completely disappears from hockey games entirely. You need a little bit better there. Thankfully, the Avs had Alex Newhook in their third line, and that line took care of business.
Dude,
line
that was third great. Line was badass tonight.
Great.
Literally nothing but praise for a third. Let's be honest. Their third line was more like a second line tonight.
Oh, for sure.
You get two goals out of it.
It's more like a first line.
You're not wrong.
You get two goals out of it, and it's your most consistent line beginning to end.
I was going to give McKinnon credit for at least the one goal.
Can you say that, though? Because, like, their defense is creating all that offense. They are just relentless on the forecheck.
Yeah, they're just the only consistent line on the team right now. It's the only line that Bednar can put out there, and you reasonably expect them to go get pucks and go push the game the correct direction.
It was the only one that did, too.
Yeah,
I believe if you look at the shot metrics tonight, you get into the analytics of it, your second line got its head kicked in. Yeah,
second line.
Its first line lost its matchup, but it had its moments, and your third line won.
Yeah. Yep. And your fourth line isn't even really a line because you're playing 11-7.
That trio tonight, specifically, outshot Washington 9-5, scored twice, had 6-4 advantage in scoring chances and 3-1 in high danger chances. That trio, specifically.
Yeah. Pretty good. And this is where I want to have a little bit of an interesting conversation. AJ, we were talking during the game. By the end of it, you wanted to break up the Avs' second line.
By the end of it?
Halfway through the second period.
I was going to say.
Not the point.
When he came downstairs.
Not the point. My point is, how do you make that work if the second line isn't going, but you don't want to break up that third line?
Well, then you just start swapping some of those guys around. The core tenets of those lines that you know work. Lekkonen and McKinnon.
Sure.
McKinnon and Rantanen can. I don't know if I would have done it tonight. I don't think that's the decision I would have gone with tonight. But Nichushkin and Rantanen, I think, are the core tenets of those two lines.
Those are the three pairings.
Those are kind of the duos that you're looking at and saying those are my preference. So I would tonight I would have swapped Nichushkin and Rodriguez to start. That would have been my first tinker. And if that didn't get me results, then I probably would have tried to put Mikko back up onto the top line next to Lehkonen and MacKinnon and turn that other one into a third line. Turn the Nichushkin Comfort Rodriguez into my third line and elevated the new hook role.
I think that one is the one I like more, specifically because, yes, you were getting a bad game out of Mikko. You've also now had a bad couple games in a row out of Evan Rodriguez as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that idea of moving Rodriguez for Nuke just to try to, like, spark something.
Yeah.
Because I mean, those are guys that, like, produce and, like, are usually in on stuff that's going on. And when those guys are producing, that's when those two lines are actually producing points for the team. Tonight, both of those guys were bad.
Yep.
I mean, Nuke was, like, not good.
Yeah.
He existed.
That's where
the tinker, where you're still keeping MacKinnon and Rantanen apart if you do spark something, you are still a hard matchup problem there for the other team. Going through the numbers, the MacKinnon line honestly did fine. It held its own. I was being harsh, but it breaks even more often than not. And it's really the second line that just had the biggest problem.
Just got completely caved.
Yeah. And when you're looking at trying to tinker, you're talking about Arturi Lehkonen and Nathan MacKinnon have worked beautifully together.
Yeah.
And they were maybe the part of the top line that I liked tonight. And so that's not where I would have started with trying to break that up.
They definitely like playing with each other, you can tell.
Well, I don't know how anybody would ever not like playing next to Arturi Lehkonen. Yeah. He works so hard every shift and does so much work.
And he's smart.
Yeah. I mean, and he's fearless. Yeah. We talk about how he's a little undersized and he just gets the shit kicked out of him every single night.
Goes hard.
So. But I mean, you're talking about like in-game nitpick, and then in the next game, I go right back to the lineup they started with.
Oh, yeah. Like,
we've seen way more success than not with the way that this has been set up.
Well, some of that's just matchup, right? Sorry.
No,
you're right.
No, some of that's just matchup. Like, there's just certain teams that when you match up against them, you're just not going to get that offensive power that you're gonna do on most nights with other teams. Like, sometimes there's this weird matchup stuff.
And that weird matchup stuff plays in your favor because Alex Newhook's line just eats.
True.
Nom, 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 nom.
And look,
it's Thanksgiving every day for that line right now.
Again, the way Mikko Rantanen has played this year, you're giving that guy half the game to say, hey, are you going to show up and be Mikko tonight?
True.
Yeah.
So
absolutely,
you're not making sweeping changes or anything like that,
dude. Sweeping changes,
based on a game they won. By the way,
you're making sweeping changes on a 6-game winning streak. You are focused on the wrong stuff.
So, it is worth pointing out some of the struggles that probably made this game closer than it had to be for Colorado. But again, they're getting the job done every single night right now. And that's exactly what they needed to do. So I do have one question, though. Who needed Bacchus and Shanker more? Was it MacKinnon on the goal, or was it Brad Hunt in the third period making the play to separate the puck?
I mean, I'm sorry. Are you asking AJ?
You go.
I mean, it's MacKinnon. He just got backed into. That guy just put his rear end right into Mac's, like, body. Knocked the wind out of him. Start mashing too, Mac.
Yeah. That's right. He scored the goal, got his 700th point, and then dialed 2-2-2-2-2-2-2.
Just pushed 2 for a while.
I love that.
I do, too.
If you have been injured and it's not your fault, you guys do need to check out Bacchus and Shanker, though. They will help you wherever the injury came from, whether it be car accident, motorcycle, rideshare, even at work. they got you covered.
Does that mean Keegan Colasar is on the hook for all of Byram's problems?
Give Boxen Shanker a call, Bo. Just saying.
What's the statute of limitations on that?
On concussions caused. And the big part of it is you don't need to be rich like a hockey player to use Bacchus and Shanker. Mm-hmm. They will consult you for absolutely free. It costs you $0. And even if they take on your case, you pay nothing until you win the case. So it's literally free money in your pocket, basically. These guys just working for you to help get you what you're owed. They've won over $1 billion over the 25 years they've been doing this here in Colorado. If you're from Colorado, you have to know who they are, yeah. Right, at this point. Just make sure you're using them when you have the opportunity to get what you deserve with the 2 number. Go over there. Find out if you have a case for free. Bacchus and Shanker wins. We're also brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Got a little pick of the week for you here.
I was right on my first pick of the week last week when I said to take the Bengals over the Bills.
You got that one. You want to take this one too? You got another gem in there?
No.
No?
I was just happy with that one. I was 1-1 on my football picks last week.
So. 1-for-1 is pretty good. I'm not going to lie to you on that one. I am not going to go with football this time.
Okay.
I'm gonna go a little bit outside the box here.
If you're always outside the box, aren't you just inside the Rudo box?
It's true. The Rudo box is a little bigger than your average box.
Rudo octagon.
About to throw down. Not going to do be a UFC bet. No, I'm taking the impossible. I'm taking the field to win the Australian Open.
The men's?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Good luck.
That's old.
That's just money that you just lit on fire. Have you watched how that tournament's played out?
Yeah. Enough of it, at least. You never know, though.
So it's really, you're taking Stefanos, the Greek guy, whose last name I can't. It's Tsitsipas.
Now, maybe I have some inside info, all right?
That's your best hope.
Maybe Novak's about to eat some bad dinner or something.
I mean, he did get hurt his last match.
That's all I'm saying.
He also lost his mind.
Yeah.
That's all I'm
screaming
saying.
It was a fan screaming at him.
Yeah.
The best part about the pick of the week, though, is if you disagree, you can fade me and take whatever you want on DraftKings Sportsbook. So if you think I'm an idiot, bet against me. Take the anti-Rudo.
I can't imagine that Djokovic is getting good odds right now.
There's no way.
Especially when you look at how all the top seeds have gotten rocked in this thing.
Seems like it should be a pretty easy path for him. But do whatever you want over at DraftKings. You must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See the show notes down below for details. And of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
You should have picked Ben Shelton.
Specifically, Ben. Yeah. I don't know tennis that well to like pick out guys down the depth chart.
He's the lefty American that made quarters, unranked.
Sick. I'm taking him. Yeah. All right, him over Novak and the field.
He's just been really fun to watch, and this has been like this Australian Open has been the tournament that American men's American tennis has been like. We back, y'all. We took 20 years off while the greatest generation dominated.
Someone was telling me... Like,
but they're back. Americans are back.
Someone was telling me Andy Murray's back.
Sort of. He got into the third round and then fell.
Yeah. I was like, there's another dude named Andy Murray here. And then I looked at him, I was
same guy.
Same dude.
That's the same guy. Yeah, he's got that robo hip and it just...
Not the same.
Yeah, he just doesn't... He doesn't have it anymore.
Man, when he first came on the scene, he was...
He's my favorite tennis player ever.
Yeah.
So I'm all for this origin story.
Not Andre Agassi?
Not Andre Agassi, no.
Hmm. Okay.
I was
more of a Sampras guy back in the day.
It was Roddick.
You're a little younger.
Yeah.
It was Roddick. I didn't have a favorite until Andy Roddick, and then it was Roddick, and then it was Andy Murray.
Yeah.
All right. Back to the hockey game. if we're talking about people who are having coming out parties. Is Alex Newhook here?
I said during the game, I think it is.
Has he arrived for real?
Like, you'll still see, there will still be scoring slumps. And, you know, he's still human, but... The way that he's playing the game right now. We talked about it after last game that it's not just that he's producing points. It's that defensively he's involved on a regular basis, that he's making quality plays every shift. That he is spearheading a line between two guys that don't have a lot of puck skill between them, and they are getting out of their zone very cleanly
and quickly.
And a lot of it has to do with Newhook starting that. So Alex Newhook is, I think, has arrived as the guy that we've been hoping for, as just as an impact guy. Not, I don't want to be, he's the 2C, he's going to score 60. And
forget role for a
minute. I'm not worrying about any of that. It is just consistent. I think it has been enough now. We've watched it over the last few weeks that the points are a product of everything else that he's been doing well, and is more of a justification of the play, of the role. And then him in this at center.
Yeah.
Yep. I tweeted it out. I retweeted one of Evan's tweets. The exact same thing happened at BC when he first got into college.
Yeah, it's true.
Where they put him on the wing for a while, and then he got comfortable. They moved him to center, and he was just to the moon.
They put him next to Matt Boldy.
Yeah, and the two of them clicked, and they both just yeah,
took off.
Yeah. So it's nice to see. And the point that you were kind of digging at there, AJ, is, one, he's found chemistry with Cogliano and LOC.
Definitely.
But two, you're seeing him be the driver of that line. He's the dude pushing the play there. He's not the guy just on the wing thriving off of other players' success.
Anybody that went and read my piece after the Seattle game, you would have seen that he was this close to a four-point night.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even a big leap to be like, he could have had a four-point night. Now, that's obviously in a world where you cash your chances and everything goes his way.
Of course.
But the fact that he got robbed out of a multi-point night is more of an indictment of just how the guys around him finished than anything else. And tonight was kind of this, you know, that line is very good and gives you two goals. But the one that he does not get a point on, it starts with him winning a faceoff in the defensive zone. Doesn't get a point, wins a faceoff, and everybody makes a great play. Gerard with a great flip into the neutral zone on a set. That's a set play.
Yep.
And LOC with a great little pass, and you know.
And then Newhook's just gone.
Yeah, and then he goes and he walks in and scores. I mean, and it starts in the defensive zone. Is what I'm saying. Like, he's just been where he starts defensively is what is driving the success that we're seeing on the other end of the ice. Is that getting pucks from one end to the other.
And Bednar's got to love that line, too, because even on the shifts that they're not producing, it's lockdown defense. You're not worried about them. They're not a liability. You're not seeing, like, dumb plays happening with that line. So it's easy to go back to them.
Yep. I mean, with that line...
To that point, one high danger chance against in that time, in 12 minutes tonight.
And
that's awesome.
When the rest of your lineup is hemorrhaging chances.
It fits so well with what we've come to know as Avalanche hockey, too, where forget them getting out of the defensive zone effectively. Their forecheck is murdering people.
Yeah.
And teams are struggling to get out of their own zone against that line, let alone play in the Av zone.
Logan O'Connor is playing fantastic hockey right now.
Yep.
I mean, fantastic hockey. And Andrew Cogliano with the tip, and it's fine, you know, whatever.
It worked.
It's not really a tip. It's a puck that hits him. Because
it was a puck that was going very wide.
It was going 3 feet wide of the net. It hits his body, and it goes in.
You went
in
to a good spot. You got a fortunate bounce.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you love that. Great.
Make your own cool. luck. Let's go.
I hate that saying. I totally do. But in that situation,
use it more.
In that situation, though, you could see where it would apply.
Yeah.
Because you're just... It's basic hockey.
Yeah.
You know, you get the puck out high. He's just shooting it. He's throwing it towards the net. Guy went in the general vicinity, and it just kind of hits him and goes in. And you're like, well,
I mean, yeah.
We made something out of nothing, and it's not necessarily the way we drew it up, but that's hockey. That's how it works.
Get bodies in that box. You never know what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Sometimes lucky, as they say.
As a guy wearing glasses that look like that would say, yes.
No, a guy wearing these glasses would tell Darcy Kemper it sucks to suck.
Ooh. I mean, after the game, the guy wearing those glasses would have skated over to him and said, get good.
It actually looks like...
then taking his stick and...
It actually looks like I'm a CIA agent meeting with like a narco from Middle America.
Yeah. It is interesting how the sunglasses wear differently on each person.
AJ gives me Blues Brothers vibes.
Oh, dude, big time. Big time.
Somebody in the chat was like, is AJ blind?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. I would prefer the John Belushi comparison, but this is fine too. I can also be blind. There's a lot of people who think that I am, given the way that I see the game. So. Oh,
wow. Well, we know which one of those people might be blind. It's not AJ.
Yeah, I would tend to agree.
Anyway, continuing through this game, though. One, can the Avs figure out how to stop Connor Sheary? He was probably Washington's most dangerous threat for the entire course of the game. Didn't love that.
He's a good player. I think he's a really underrated player. Okay. I like him. I've always liked big Connor Sheary fan. Yeah. I just think he's a good player. Good role player. Very much their Evan Rodriguez. Kind of fits around all their star talent and just gels really nicely with how they play the game.
All right. So just a good fit then.
Yeah. Just a good player.
Two. We talked about Georgiev a little bit already, but.
Not our king of the game, by the way.
Not our king of the game. Where is the line of Georgiev playing well and Georgiev getting lucky? Because Sheary hit a post tonight. In the third period, you saw some plays where, you know, pucks are kind of just hitting him.
But it's on the shooter.
Yeah.
You know, because when we were, when Colorado was going through the
goal
scoring.
You're asking them to shoot better, for sure.
When Colorado was going through the goal scoring slump, and we weren't talking about how the goaltenders were playing phenomenally every night.
It's true.
We were talking about Colorado's failing to execute here.
Yeah.
So, to me, this is the same conversation. Georgiev's putting himself in the position that he thinks he needs to be in. It's on the shooters to miss him. It's on the shooters to not hit the post. It's on the shooters to actually finish.
Yeah.
So I just think Georgiev did his job. The Caps didn't. And then this is what it comes down to. You know, it's execution, man. They had opportunities. They get a free one. That's their second goal. It's just a free one.
Yeah.
They didn't earn that shit. They didn't deserve that. Well, the Avs hand that to them. And beyond that, though. Their one goal is just a nice tip that just dribbles through Georgiev.
Yep.
Other than that, Georgiev outplays them. Easy peasy.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the game, this, you know, it could have changed right there. At the very beginning, I don't remember who shot it, but
it was Sheary.
Was it Sheary, too?
The post?
Yeah,
post. Yeah, it was Sheary.
Two posts, okay. I mean, that, again, that could change the outcome of a game real quick.
Didn't we saw 2 weeks ago when they were losing all their games.
Yep. Yeah. Those were going in, yeah.
That's 2 weeks ago, that thing maybe hits a third post and then hits off Georgiev and goes in with the way that the Avs puck luck was going.
And look, I don't want to take away from Georgiev. He had a
He was awesome.
Incredible save in the third period off his mask as he's sliding across.
Yeah.
Bailing the Avs defense out, which, again, was it bad tonight? Yes. Is that all that surprising? No. You kind of live with it.
You're going to need your goaltender to pick up the slack on a night where your defense just does not have the goods.
Yep.
Especially when the defense is this beat up. Because they didn't have the goods tonight. They were bad. Their puck. Right now, post-game stuff is going on, and I'd be willing to bet you that puck management is a phrase that gets said at least three or four times. It's been tweeted out.
Yeah. Look, two things here. One, I think we all agreed Eric Johnson was not as good tonight. Some context there. He did not practice yesterday. Jared Bednar said he's banged up.
Yeah, he's fighting through it.
That's a guy who's not 100% for you right now.
Yeah. And he's playing. Where are you at, Kale?
Right, exactly.
This is like the one criticism that I have of Kale McCarr is that he reminds me of Peter Forsberg in the bad way. Of if he's
just
not
chalk him up to miss if he's not 100%.
If he's at 95%, he won't go.
Yep.
Unless it's a postseason game, in which of course everybody goes crazy and
they go at 10%.
Yeah. And like, I, for the record, I say it's a criticism I have. It's also his call.
Totally.
And I'm not gonna, but I do. You do see that difference between Kale McCarr is participating in everything, and he's just like, well, I don't want to risk it turning into a bigger problem. And everybody in the world understands this,
totally.
Right? And you totally, and Eric Johnson's like, I'm playing. And he goes out and he doesn't play very well, but he plays like a goddamn warrior for you.
This is the same guy who finished a shift on a broken leg.
Right. In his career. And it's just, and it's just like, you're fine with all of this and how it's playing out. But to me, it does feel like a contrast where you're like, okay, just different mindsets, different, you know, and different. Again, if it was game one of the postseason, come on.
You know he's playing.
Yeah. This isn't a conversation. So it's not like an indictment of Kale McCarr. I just thought that the contrast between the two decisions where Eric Johnson was like, I'm taking days off. I'm beat up. No chance. I'm playing. They need me in the lineup because we literally don't have a call up. Who else do you use in that spot at this point? Literally, who do you call up? Is it Keaton Middleton?
You'd go 12-6.
Eric Johnson's playing,
but
Keaton Middleton, man, that defense is getting real tall real quick at that point.
I mean, you're going from 6'4 to 6'7, so it's,
he's a big boy.
You're going from big to really, really big. Yeah. But yeah, point is, I don't think Eric Johnson was very good tonight, but I appreciate that he was a goddamn warrior.
To bring it back to your original point. And Blaze, I know you don't play at NHL speed quite these days, but can someone get in the Avs defenseman's ears and yell at them to use their eyeballs?
Well, I mean, that are you talking about Gerard along the boards?
I'm talking about
everybody
along the boards.
EJ through his legs,
that type
of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff, like, is infuriating. I mean, obviously, like, as a forward that's forechecking that guy, once you get him to the backhand and they're facing the boards, that's advantage you. You would hope not to just make dumb passes when that happens or panic like that, right? Like, you've got to be smart with the puck, and especially when your, you know, winger is sitting next to you going up high off the boards to the defenseman. It's probably not the best play on the backhand.
Yeah, I think it's a communication more than anything else.
Yeah, for sure.
You need somebody to tell G, and not just Sam Gerard. Like, I don't know why this always comes back to this
it's
guy, man.
Every it's defenseman that on the ice tonight.
That one was the most.
That was
like,
one. It was
one.
Well, it was, and it was like near the end of the game where we were all talking about it, so it's fresh. But yeah, like somebody needs to tell him, hey, you've got time because he can skate that out.
I mean,
he's got time to just flip it over to his forehand and maybe make a different play.
If you want other examples, Brad Hunt had all the time in the world in the corner, and he does the, oh, no, I have no time, rip it into my own corner move.
Yeah.
Slap
it against the board and just hope for
and
the
someone
best.
Needs to tell him, hey, settle it. You have time or whatever.
It just and it's hard on TV because in the arena you can hear that a lot better where you can hear their communication. And on TV, it just the way they were playing it did not look like
there was no talk.
It didn't look like there was a lot of communication happening, and it looked like they were putting themselves in bad spots with very little support.
Yeah,
It's just bad hockey when you're playing with a lead. Look, I get it. Everyone sits back. Everyone leans on their leads a little bit in third periods. It's just the reality of the league. One, because the other team is pushing harder, and two, because you're conserving energy. But if you're doing that effectively, other teams, it's one and done. Yeah. They get in the zone, they get their opportunity, you get it out, you reset. It was far from one and done for the Avs in the third period of this hockey game.
It's the blind passing in the defensive zone that drives coaches crazy. They would rather have you
that Eric Johnson
make a move,
did.
Get to your forehand, and lob the puck out.
We watched Eric Johnson win maybe the first foot race he won all year, gets to the puck,
and then...
And then waits for the pressure.
Yeah.
Draws the guy in. He does everything that you like, and then he goes between his legs
to nobody,
right to a Caps forward who's attacking the net. And you're like, no, that was the one that kills you. Where you're just like, ah, come on, man. Like, there needs to be communication. That's a trust in a teammate, but you need to take, especially because he does take a beat. before he makes that decision.
Check.
Before he makes that play.
Check.
Just take a peek, man. Yeah. Try and figure out what you got around you.
Get something.
This is a weirdly critical podcast.
It is.
They won this hockey game, and they played really good hockey through two periods.
For two periods. Very it true. Was.
Yeah, they were really good. One of the units that I really want to give love to tonight and is going to be a stud tonight, the penalty kill was exceptional. 4 minutes of power play time. They had the puck in the offensive zone for maybe a minute and a half of that.
Yep.
And it was... It was so good. The denials at the blue line in the neutral zone, the pressure that they put on, the active sticks, the reading of the play. That unit was exceptional tonight. I loved the PK tonight.
Gonna dunk on you a little bit, Blaze, here, so apologies, but
fine.
The Avs PK was so good on the first power play. They got a minute into it, and Blaze is like, the guys are playing like a weird neutral zone trap.
I was like, somebody go attack. What the hell are they doing? And then I was like, oh.
They had played their PK so effectively, Blaze didn't even know. They were on the penalty kill at that point.
What is this? This 1-3-1 bullshit is back. No, it was just the 3-1 bullshit. That's all it was.
But I was like, wow, this is like, they're just allowing them to set up in the zone and come out. I was like, okay, we're playing neutral zone trap now. Like, what's going on here?
But look, the PK deserves extra credit because the Avs didn't get a power play opportunity tonight.
Yeah, Caps are so clean.
Dude, watching, so
some of those refs were wearing AJ's sunglasses tonight.
Watch the Ovechkin goal.
Yeah.
And watch Devon Taves freak out after that goal gets scored. Watch the successful pick play that gets run on Alexander Georgiev in the last 2 minutes of a hockey game. They pick your goalie, and the ref still is like, looks good to me, boys.
Interference, holding.
You guys, Sonny Milano with the big a hug as he can. Yeah. Like, dude. Arms wrapped around a guy.
Yeah, just straight chopped it on what was a free empty net goal.
Nichushkin's going for the empty netter, and he just slaps it out of his head. That was an automatic goal a week ago. what the hell, dude? It's not even so much that I think that the Caps, like, deserved all these penalties, but in a game where you don't call any on them.
Yeah.
And then you get into the final couple minutes, and you're just like, that's a blatant penalty. That's a blatant penalty. The one that truly blew me away was the Nichushkin slashing the stick out of the hands.
That's taking away a direct scoring opportunity.
It was like 50 seconds left where you're like, okay, like you could say that, hey, we gave you guys a shot or whatever. You've already given them a free pass on two penalties. But now with an empty net here, the guy gets inside the zone. You just whacks the stick, and you're just like, it's Ovi. So what, man? It's a penalty. It was so frustrating.
Is what it is. Didn't matter because the Avs special teams were good enough. They didn't lose the special teams battle because of that good penalty kill. It's the little things like that that get you over the hump that sometimes you don't think about. The Ovi goal, in hindsight, don't mind it because I always think it's dope when Ovi scores and he gets to write a little bit more history. So, not going to complain that much about that one. We've already been negative enough.
I'm just going to say it's a terrible play by McKinnon.
Yeah.
It's a terrible play by McKinnon. But maybe more than anything is that I don't love it from Georgiev.
He's got to get all the way over there.
He has all the time, and it looked initially like he was over there.
He just didn't get on the angle.
Yeah, and he's just not there, and you're just kind of like, ugh. And all this talk, like, oh, the way that the puck comes off Ovi, still like, okay. Like, I get that the guy's the greatest goal scorer ever, so I'm not crushing Georgiev for this. But
if you're in position, you just shouldn't get beat short side. Full stop.
Well, especially... Shorts are like some, there's going to be some that come up over that shoulder.
Sure.
And you're like, holy shit, that's insane. Like, what a shot, right?
Dude, put it in a 4-inch hole or whatever.
This was not that. Like, Georgiev opened up that space, and that should have, to me, it should have been a stop.
It was a wobbler.
It should have been. I thought it should have been a stop. And also the tweets that I saw of, I can't believe Alex Ovechkin, after 800 goals or whatever, is still able to get it, is still make himself he's cherry picking. Guys, that puck is going the other way. He drifts off just in case that one thing that happens. He drifts off over there by himself. Yep. Like, if they get out of the zone, you're looking at Ovechkin and he's either changing or he's making the laziest shit imaginable. It's one of the two. He's cherry picking that play, and it works out great because McKinnon makes a horrible play.
Right, and like if that play works, I forget which winger was on the far side, but that winger was gone.
Yeah,
if McKinnon gets through that guy, it wasn't Erod. They have an odd man rush the other way.
Exactly, and Colorado's defense was like,
let's go.
Yeah.
We have the puck.
Colorado's defense was like, this is a free exit. What are we doing? And McKinnon with just an absolutely horrible play. And, Ovi gets a gift from the gods on that one. And look, he smashes it and he does what he does. I could say it should be a save all I want. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
They don't get the third one. That's the one that I'm... They don't get that one? Cool. Have it, dude. Have it.
Well, you know what? Ovi getting pretty...
Georgiev, top Russian.
Got him. Ovi getting pretty high on the list of goal scorers. Bednar, the highest on the list of franchise coaches. If you're trying to get high at home, use Jive Hive. They'll deliver the buzz straight to you. It's that easy, folks. You don't even have to go anywhere. Your couch locked already? Jive Hive will bring it right to you. You don't even have to get up off the couch. Go to jivehive.com. That's JiveHyve today. And order whatever it is you might need when it comes to that. Be sure to check the areas they serve. Have them on their website. Make sure you're covered. There's some places they don't deliver, so make sure you check. Again, get your order delivered the same day. You can get it ASAP if you want, or you can select a delivery window. So if you know sometime you're planning on getting high later, they'll come deliver it right to you. Just that easy. Head over to jivehive.com. Again, that's JiveHyve.com. Enter your address to find out if Jive Hive can deliver to you. They serve Aurora, Greenwood, Village, Monument, Fountain, and various areas of El Paso County.
Need to expand. They need to aggressively expand those delivery areas.
Do they?
Yeah.
I'm good. I live in Aurora. I'm covered.
And after you get that Jive Hive, get your Shady Rays.
Hey! We're looking good tonight, Chad, aren't we?
To be honest with you... This has made the lights.
It's actually that's better.
What I'm saying. I'm
so much more tolerable.
This is a permanent.
I am strongly contemplating permanent this being situation. Something I wear every night. Yeah,
it helps with the lights a lot.
They're it's comfortable enough.
Yeah,
I've got them over my regular glasses. On camera, you can't even really tell that I have my actual glasses on right now.
You're covered.
I just tossed them on, and they're great. They're blocking all this out. This is much more tolerable than it normally is.
Beyond that, we're also brought to you by Breck Brew. New little thing coming down the pipeline this Friday. Down at the farmhouse, we're going to be doing a little live show.
Dude, I'm excited for this. This could be a really fun thing.
Should be a fun thing. We're going to try and do stuff like this a little bit more with them, I think, is the plan.
I think the idea is to do it once a month. Yeah.
So if you guys want to come watch a show live, not exactly sure what the setup is going to be for this first one, but the Breck Brew Farmhouse over in Littleton, 1 p.m. Friday, we're doing our live show, and the rest of the DNVR crew is going to just be hanging out there all day. So if you want to come vibe with the gang, DNVR will be out there doing their stuff at the farmhouse.
Yeah, and if you've never been to the farmhouse, the place just rocks.
It's just a dope place.
It's just rocks. It's great food. Last time we were there for the cup and everything, we hung out after, got some drinks, had some food. Just
vibed.
Milled about. It's a great... If you've never taken the tour down there of the facilities, it's badass. It's a really cool experience.
So come on down for that. Join us. We have like tons of other amazing stuff going on right now. Also, on sale, a bunch of our shirts are 50% off right now. The Cup Championship shirt, which everyone absolutely adores, 50% off. I believe this Cale Makar one is 25% off right now.
Yep. The Landeskog with the fireworks behind him. Yep.
50% off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at that.
That's the one.
Right there. Yeah. So we got some sick merch.
The Shady Rays blocked out the fireworks. Couldn't even see them.
There you go. Saving season. 50% off on some of those shirts.
Look, the reality here is, guys, that we got to get through some of our merch because we've got new merch on the way.
It's how it works.
See, now I've said that publicly, Eric has to get to work.
Facts. I mean, look.
We
all expect another playoff run coming, so you got to get last year's playoff merch while you still can.
Exactly, and at 50% off, I mean, come on.
It's just a deal.
Now it's too. The Avs are back into the W column. Everything's starting to feel good.
Yeah.
It's time.
They pass Minnesota. They're not even in third place, messing around with a wild card spot anymore. So they're like, because you remember, what, 10 days ago, people were like, they're missing the playoffs.
It's time to think about trading people.
They gotta do something. They've gotta make a move now.
Alex Newhook.
Chris McFarland has to stop sitting on his hands.
We're not even done. February 25th. DNVR Avalanche Takeover is coming back. We're bringing DNVR to the building for the return of Nas.
We wanted to bring the diehards, the real fans of fans. To welcome Nas back.
Yep.
And get to watch that tribute video that they're going to have for him. Get to say thank you for his contribution in the Stanley Cup run. Mm-hmm. It should be the last one of these that we have. In terms of not takeovers, but I mean like welcoming back a big former.
Yep.
It should be a thing, and it's Nas. Like, huge deal here. Yep. And so we wanted to do a takeover on a game that you guys would have a lot of interest in.
And it comes with a free DNVR shirt.
It does come with a free DNVR shirt. So you guys definitely, why not do the takeover on Nas's night?
Yep. It's the perfect night to do it. The takeover comes with a bus trip to and from the arena, so you don't have to drive down there and pay for parking.
Yep.
And then you get to come back and party at the bar after the game. It's a win-win on that front. And it comes with some free beers on the bus. So it's a good time all the way around. You can go check it out. It's live right now over on, I believe it's the DNVR locker. We'll tweet it out. Go follow us on Twitter, DNVR_Avalanche. You'll see it get posted. Get in on it while you still can. If you're a diehard, you can go through the diehard link on the website and get in as one of the cool kids, as they say. Finally, and last but not least, we also put this out as a podcast, and it would help us out a ton if y'all would go to whatever your favorite podcasting app is and give us a little 5-star review. Say thank you, Rudo, for doing a horrible Ric Flair impression. I really appreciated that in your review. Drop the 5-star over there. Give us a little bit of love. We appreciate it a lot. I only say that because we all know the 5-star coach in our heart, the king of the game, the king of the franchise, the Ken doll himself, Jared Bednar, it's nice to kind of have an official thing where it's like, okay, now this is the guy that he's going to be the coach.
Yeah. For your Mount Rushmore or your all-time great Avs starting lineup or whatever, you now have a head coach that you pick without question. That's the guy that you pick. Because before it was like, nah, do you take first season Patrick Roy? Do you take Joel Quenneville, who had great career success outside Colorado? Or do you take Bob Hartley or Mark Crawford, guys who won Stanley Cups?
Don't even have to think about it now.
Well, he's just going to keep adding to it, too.
That's exactly right.
I mean, there's a long way to go here. It's not like they're on the decline right now.
Yeah.
Certainly not in the hot seat at the moment.
No.
Contrary to some people's thoughts.
Best coach in NHL history. He's got a long way to go for that.
There are some dudes who have won like 5 Stanley Cups as a coach.
Yeah.
This is going to be a tough one.
Yeah, passing Michel Bergeron was kind of interesting because that guy had a losing record. Yeah.
He was here forever. Well, with Quebec forever.
He was like their first guy, and then they fired, and then they brought him back, and he lost a ton of games.
Like 680 some games. Like,
it's a lot.
It's a lot it's, that he
yeah.
had.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
He had a losing record, man.
Yep. Yep.
Anyway. But of course, at one point, so did Jared Bednar. 60 losses in the first year.
Had one of the
Wow. Well,
it took him three more seasons of making the playoffs to get back to 500.
Yeah.
Imagine getting the call like, hey, you know, training camp's starting. Can you make it down and coach this team?
It was, I mean, if you go and look at his career and you look and you like chop off year one.
Yeah. He's actually like insanely
good. Yeah, like his numbers. And you go and you look at his postseason career. Now, obviously, having won a Stanley Cup, like you're... That's 16 wins that you get to add to your record. Especially if you go 16-4, you're like, oh, not a lot of losing took place there. But you do look at his playoff record. He's got like a 600 winning percentage in the postseason now.
Crazy.
I mean, his worst postseason is a 2-4.
Yeah. That first year against Nashville.
And then he has a couple 7-4s and a 6-4. And then the cup run, obviously.
Yeah, it's just it's interesting to see.
I guess it'd be 7 and like
you do start to wonder. It was in chat. Justin says legend in the making, and it's like, I wonder, right?
Yeah.
You do wonder, like, okay, hey, if he wins another Stanley Cup here,
if the Avs kind of push for dynasty mode,
let's say he gets to 10 years coaching this franchise, and I think to get to 10, he would have to win another cup.
I think so.
Sure. Because I think it's almost easier to fire a coach when he's 8 years in, because you can be like, the message is stale, you know, things like that.
You can talk
you
yourself
lost into the locker room.
Yeah, like stuff like that. Yeah. So I do wonder if he is headed towards a career like that, where we look back and it's not just Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, where we're like, can you believe they had this guy? It's also Jared Bednar, where I wonder.
Question. Do you think he gets into the Hall of Fame? And like
who?
Jared Bednar.
Oh, dude, he's a baby in his coaching career.
I hear that. I understand there's a lot left.
Yeah.
But he has an ECHL championship. He has an AHL championship.
I get it.
He has an NHL
championship. He's the only one to do it.
Yeah.
In the same way that John Cooper's only one to go, I think, the USHL, AHL, NHL route. He really needs another one.
I agree.
Yeah,
I think
that makes it an easy call, right?
Yeah.
You win another Stanley Cup.
He's probably getting in. Yeah.
Look, if he wins
two more.
If he wins two more, he's in.
Yeah, no doubt.
If he wins one more and he ends up coaching for 20 years,
has the long story
and,
career.
You know,
gets 800 wins as a coach.
Exactly. Like easily,
what he's done with the Avalanche too, like becoming the winningest coach in franchise history. That's also another marker for him.
It kind of, because I think what hurts there is that the mark wasn't very high.
Yeah.
Is that there wasn't a really hard number to track down.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like, if I were to guess, I would bet that Paul Maurice has more wins coaching the Jets than Bednar has coaching the Avs because of tenure, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
something like that, where like the number was just so low. Like when Tyson Barrie took over the all-time defenseman scoring,
right.
It was like,
and you're like, this is only like 250 points.
It's just not a very high number.
Even off of his resume though, right? Like what he's already done now, like there's no way like Jared Bednar just drops off of the coaching platform.
Oh,
you never know.
If he wants to coach, I'm saying
when coaches hit the wall, you hardly ever see him bounce back.
Sure.
You know, like remember when Bob Hartley looked like he was.
Yeah, he did.
He left Colorado with an NHL, with a Stanley Cup on his resume.
Yeah.
He was the first guy to get Atlanta into the postseason. And then he won a coach of the year in Calgary.
Yeah.
All within about a period of a decade, all three of those things happened. And then he was out of the NHL and he hasn't even sniffed it since.
Yeah. True.
So, you know, you just never know with the way that coaches age is so unpredictable and different. You know, as we've seen, some of them are wonderful, but usually those guys that have been in the league for 30 years, by the end, they're out of touch.
Yeah.
And you wonder with a guy like Bednar, where the big thing with Bednar is the way that he communicates.
Yep. Yeah.
And the way that he communicates is a way that resonates with the younger generations. And it makes you think that
there's some sustainability there.
Yeah, because this is a guy I will never forget in his first year coaching. And we asked him, we said, how come you haven't given these guys like a bag skate or anything at this point? And his answer, I thought, it's always resonated with me as an obnoxious millennial who needs to understand the whys and the ins and outs of everything.
Are you drunk with power?
And well, apparently, man, I'm also a raging narcissist. So, but no, he said that, look, he said a bag skate is about making me feel better. And my job as the head coach is
doesn't matter how
to put
I
my team yeah. in the best possible position to win their next game, to give the show them the video from what went wrong in the last game and prepare them for the next game. He said, if I waste a practice session, we only get so many of them as mandated by the CBA. They can only be so many and so long, and et cetera, et cetera. If I waste a practice, if I waste a practice session on a bag skate, maybe I feel better. Maybe I feel like I showed those guys. But as a coach, what have I done to prepare them? What have I done to help them get better from the previous day's loss? And you can make a great argument that sometimes a team needs a wake-up call. Sometimes they do need to get an ass kicking with something like a bag skate.
Well,
but we've very rarely ever seen Jared Bednar not turn the page like that. And it's why when they were in that losing streak, it's why we were all calm about it and saying, look, eventually this will stop. They're too good. They're too talented. That yeah. This will eventually start to turn. And that mindset, that's where the mindset of you can't change the past comes in. And you don't panic about the future. You know, it's not to say that you don't have a sense of urgency, but that you don't panic about it. And you say as a coach, all right, we're going to turn the page on yesterday. We're going to watch the video. We're going to go. It's why Bednar was like, look, the Chicago loss wasn't that bad. And I got where he was coming from, because analytically on video, there's a lot of things that you can look at and say, it really wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't that they really didn't play a bad game, but it was that it was Chicago, and it was that they've been losing all the games. It was, there were
they
a
got
ton
lazy
of things.
At times,
yeah, and all of my criticisms from that night, I still stand by, but the way that they've responded is a direct reflection of the mentality of their head coach.
The other side of this, I think, that is important when it comes to something like a bag skate. From preseason, the expectation of the Colorado Avalanche is that you are in superhuman shape.
Yeah.
There is no, hey, I'm going to bag skate you because I think you guys are exhausted and lazy about it.
Yeah, those conditioning goals get set in the offseason, and you have to show up in camp right. and meet them.
And if you don't, you're getting scratched.
Yeah. You will not be a part of that plan.
So
you can't come into this organization unprepared at the start of the year.
Yep.
We saw it with some young guys a few years ago, and that was the last time
it
ever happened.
The boot real quick. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the last time it ever happened, because everybody raised their level, the expectations, the accountability, all of that filtered out through all levels of the organization, and the organization changed. It grew up.
Yep. Okay, I think we got some super chats here. This one from Melanie.
100 underlined twice.
I wonder what that's in reference to.
I could never figure that one out. That'd be tough, huh? I know. We know what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Just, but in reference to what? Is it just for fun, or?
We said something at some point during this pod.
That sparked the need to agree with the 100 emoji. I all love, though.
$2 from Vaguely Sober, who says, BK, make that commercial go the F away.
At BK,
have it your way.
You're all welcome.
And $10 from Odyssey, who says, Rudo, why don't blind people skydive? It scares the crap out of their dogs.
Wow.
It's a dad joke, I guess.
That should have been AJ's.
Hey, Rudo. Hey,
no.
Rudo. That's what it was. Huh?
No. You can't do this to me again. Calling Bacchus and Shanker.
Nice.
$2 from Kevin, who says 700 for the Mac attack.
Yes.
Yeah. 700 game. Mac gets 700 points. EJ 700 at the nav. Kind of a weird coincidence there. Mac had to earn that 700th point, that's for sure.
He worked hard for it. And then didn't work very hard to be a part of Ovi's history.
Sure didn't.
Whatever goal number that is.
804, 5, yeah, I don't even know, man.
Yeah. I don't keep track of it, honestly.
Probably more than that.
I'll wait. When he gets close to Gretzky, I'll start tuning in every
Once
day.
Once he gets 890, it's like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
I thought it was like what Gretzky said, too. Like, he's going to travel. Once he gets starts getting close, like, he's going to just travel.
Go with him. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So he can be
there. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Respect.
Yeah. Super dope. Yeah.
Way more respect for how he's handling that than how, like, Babe Ruth's family handled it when Roger Maris was chasing the home run record. Yeah. And they were like, you're a disgrace. And it was super contentious.
A lot of the weird, like, the three-point record that Steph Curry broke not that long ago, too, that one was a little bit weird also.
The reaction to it was odd.
Yeah. But anyway, not the point. Go Ovi.
Yeah.
Tonight, Ovi didn't get the Caps the win, though. The Avs took it home. At the end of the day, does anybody care how, as long as it's a W?
I mean, you care a little bit, but ultimately, like, what's the complaint here? What, that they
got depth scoring?
They gave up a goal in the third period, and it was 3-2 instead of 3-1. Like, you don't love the turtle. It's not your favorite, but...
You know what I say, AJ.
That's why you score 3.
Bam. It's just that easy. Like, subscribe, help us out, do all that good stuff. We'll be back tomorrow. I think we're going to talk about some ex-Avs, how they might fit on the team, it sounds
like. Yeah, we were basically, the premise was talking about which former Avalanche players who are not in the Hall of Fame or don't have retired
that
numbers.
That are just cheat codes.
Yeah, would be the best fits on the current team. Because we were talking, John Michael Lyles was the catalyst of the conversation, so...
Hey, he might be an upgrade to the Avs D this second.
Yeah. He still skate. Is he in shape?
We're out of here for the night. We appreciate all of y'all. We will see you tomorrow, and maybe I'll just never take these glasses off again.